Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 22nd, 2024. Today is Friday in the fifth week of Lent. This is a reading from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. As he came out of the temple, one of Jesus' disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones! And what large buildings!" Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." Here ends the reading. There is hardly any way, if we've never been there, for any of us to imagine the scale of the temple and its environs during the time of Jesus. Scholars and archaeologists estimate that the complex comprised 36 acres, or an area equivalent to about 27 football fields. The temple in Jesus' time was known as the Second Temple. The original, Solomon's Temple, had been destroyed by the Babylonians in the year 586 BCE. When the Jews returned to Jerusalem after their exile, another more modest temple was built on the original site by Zerubbabel around 520 BCE. Herod the Great, the Herod from the birth of Jesus story in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, Herod undertook an expansive reconstruction and remodeling of the temple during his reign, completing it at around 20 BCE. Some of the stone blocks quarried for use in Herod's improvement project weighed over 800 tons. No wonder the disciples sound like tourists when they exclaimed, "What large stones!" The temple complex was constructed on top of Mount Moriah, and like other holy sites in the ancient world, think the Acropolis in Athens, it would have been visible from anywhere in the city of Jerusalem, and it would have been visible for miles, so that pilgrims who were making their trek to the holy site to offer sacrifices could see it. They could see the end of their journey for miles before they got there. The white stones and gold appointments would have gleamed and sparkled under the sun. The temple was a testament to the faith of the Jews and the outsized audacity of Herod. It certainly looked like something that would last forever. Except forever is a long time. By the time Mark's gospel was written, somewhere around the year 70 CE, the destruction of the temple had probably already happened. In response to a Jewish uprising in the late 60s, a Roman army under the command of Titus laid siege to Jerusalem, and after starving the city, that army stormed the walls and invaded it. The street fighting eventually wound up on the temple site, and then the Romans set fire to everything there. When the conflagration had ended, the streets flowed with the blood of the defeated rebels and innocent victims as well. And in the aftermath, the Romans plundered the temple for all of its gold and treasure, and then they toppled whatever still stood. Today, the only thing that remains of the Second Temple complex is the sacred site known as the Western or Wailing Wall. The words we hear Jesus say to his disciples as they leave the temple grounds on the Tuesday in Holy Week would have been haunting enough for the disciples. Imagine how they sounded in the ears of those who were well aware of the temple's fate, the people reading Mark's gospel. The 13th chapter of Mark is called by many Bible scholars the Little Apocalypse. The language is dark. The warnings are dire. Jesus emphasizes the necessity for his followers to be on guard and alert. Again, for readers of Mark's gospel, these warnings wouldn't have seemed far-fetched. They were living through such dark and dire times themselves. Wars and rumors of war, nation against nation, earthquakes and famines. On the one hand, such circumstances demand watchfulness, and such circumstances could lead one to feel hopeless. But on the other hand, the faithful follower of Jesus must not succumb to despair. Did you notice how today's passage ended? This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. That's right. Jesus is saying here that even when history seems God-forsaken, God is busy redeeming it. Even in death, there is the promise of new birth, new life, new creation. Buried in Jesus' words of warning is a harbinger of hope. The times may be dire and despair may be plentiful, but to the faithful follower, our job is to remain faithful. Our job is to keep at it, trusting in the God of life to overwhelm death with God's creative word. For Mark, as we will see later in the gospel, and for those first followers of Jesus, the promise of resurrection is not a get-out-of-death-free card. It's not a happily-ever-after card. The promise of resurrection empowers us to face into a death-dealing culture and not lose hope. We can be realistic. We can be watchful. We can be alert. But we are not hopeless. For Jesus' disciples, hearing him talk of the destruction of the temple would have seemed just as far-fetched and incomprehensible as his prediction that he would die and rise again. Leaving the temple that day, none of them could have imagined that Jesus would be dead in less than 72 hours. In 8 days, the church from all over the world will be gathered once again at the foot of the cross, remembering the events of Good Friday. We will gather in prayer as wars rage in Ukraine and Gaza and in other parts of the world. We will think about the death of Jesus even as nations rise against nations and people are starving to death, trampled underfoot as politicians jockey for power and prestige. And yet, these are still the beginnings of the birth pangs. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. eternal God, in whose perfect kingdom no sword is drawn but the sword of righteousness, no strength known but the strength of love. So mightily spread abroad your Spirit that all peoples may be gathered under the banner of the Prince of Peace, as children of one Father, to whom be dominion and glory, now and forever. Amen.